famous for his muck and chore pastime, stealing butter from the storehouse of not only his parents but all the neighbors. And Radha and Krishna, in the Kishore Rup, the youthful pastime of Radha and Krishna, where Krishna's, he wasn't holding his flute because he was getting his bath first, but he'll come out holding his flute and enjoying pastimes with the cowherd boys and with the gopis and with the cows and all the residents of Vrindavan right here in the living room. Because, and Gaur Nittai, the forms of the Lord that are distributing the Yuga Dharma, the chanting of the holy name of God as the principal means of achieving spiritual perfection for this age. We have a cacophony of sound of little children that are, they think kirtan is still happening. Yeah, kirtan. We like kirtan. Okay. What to do? Just pretend it's not happening, right? There's nothing to do. So I wanted to make reference to the process of deity worship as an important part of the process of awakening our dormant love for Krishna. According to according to Yamaraj, no, according to Prahlad Maharaj, well, Yamaraj stated that there are 12 authorities that are able to understand Krishna, although he's very difficult to understand. Even you have Krishna in your presence, even you have Krishna's teaching in your presence, even you have a teacher in your presence, it's hard to understand Krishna except through the authority of great personalities. And the process of realization of Krishna is through 9 forms of bhakti. This is spoken by Prahlad Maharaj to his father. The process of bhakti or devotion to the Supreme Lord begins with what? What? Shravanam. Oh, hearing. Okay. Beginning with the process of hearing. Yes, great. And then comes following Shravanam is what?
Kirtanam.
What?
Kirtanam.
I heard that one. Yeah, okay. Chanting, hearing and chanting. Shravanam followed by kirtanam. You hear. And just like the children that were singing so nicely. Here's their teacher, and they were Shravanam, and then they were Kirtanam. And you do Shravanam and Kirtanam and Shravanam and Kirtanam and Shravanam, Kirtanam, and then comes Smaranam, remembrance. And it's not the remembrance of like memorizing 2 plus 2 is 4 and 4 plus 4 is 8. It's not like that. It's awakening of the consciousness that's within the soul. That kind of Shravanam. Remembering that which we have forgotten. Tell a little Prabhupada story. The first time Prabhupada spoke publicly, because previous to that he was speaking in a little storefront in 26 Second Avenue, and they were doing Shravanam, Kirtanam, hearing and chanting. Lots of kirtan, very simple presentation of Bhagavad Gita to the young Western audience. At one point, one devotee said, Swamiji, wouldn't it be nice if we would go to the park and take this chanting to the park? And Prabhupada said, yes, let us go tomorrow. Please make all arrangements. So they got a permit from the Parks Department. They went to Tompkins Square Park and they chanted for 2 hours. 2 straight hours, nonstop. Not just Shravanam Kirtanam, but Dansanam. They were dancing too. And a big crowd formed. because they had never seen anything like this before. A small Indian sadhu sitting in a park in New York, and American youth singing and dancing and jumping and carrying on like something was really wonderful. So the first thing that Prabhupada spoke, 2 hours after the kirtan, he stood up. There's a wonderful photograph. He's standing with his arms folded, very serious looking, like the people in the crowd were thinking, what's this Martian going to say? What language is he going to speak? What planet has he come from? What's his message? And Prabhupada said, the first words he said, I've come not to teach you something new, but to remind you of that which you have forgotten. Cool, huh? I've come not to teach you something new, but to remind you of that which you have forgotten. Meaning, knowledge of God, more than knowledge of God, love of God is within the heart of every living being. Love of God is within the heart of every living being. Nitya Siddha, Krishna Prema, Sadhya Kabunoi, Shravanadi, beginning with the process of Shravanam, and then following Kirtanam, and then following Smaranam. Remembering that which we have forgotten. And it's that knowledge that's as eternal as the soul is eternal. It's knowledge of our eternal relationship with the personality of Godhead. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Padasevanam. Then, Archanam. So this process that we were performing the Abhishek is a process of Archana. Archana is worship of the Archa Vigraha, the deity form of the Lord in an authorized manner. Distinct from idol worship, which the Vedas also speak against, as other religious scriptures speak against, Archana is not idol worship, it's authorized forms of the Lord that are installed in an authorized procedure, and they're worshipped in an authorized manner. And what's the purpose of Archana? The same as the other purposes of bhakti. The nine processes of bhakti have one purpose too. Awaken our love for Krishna. Some of you may have read this book, Nectar of Devotion. And to those of you that haven't read it, most likely one day will have the good fortune of reading it. Because it's describing the process of devotional service. And in this process of devotional service, one of the subject matters is the process of deity worship. And it gives many things that are to be done in deity worship. It also mentions many things that are not to be done in deity worship. There's vidhis and there's nishedhas, things to do and things not to do. But now this is a quiz question for our experienced devotees. And don't blurt out the question, raise your hand. Of all the in Nectar Devotion, there are 64 items that are mentioned. And then Rupa Goswami summarizes and says, there's one purpose to be served by all of these vidhis of deity worship. So this is what we're doing this evening. Honoring the worship of these deity forms of the Lord. What's the purpose? Stated by Rupa Goswami here in Nectar of Devotion. I see two hands. I see three hands. I see four hands. I see a camera. And a hand. Always remember Krishna. Never forget Krishna. That's like checkmate. Always remember Krishna. Never forget Krishna. And the verse of Rupa Goswami says, all of the vidhis and the nishedhas, the do's and the don'ts, the injunctions and the prohibitions, the rules and the regulations, are pursuant of this one thing. What's that one thing? Always remember Krishna. Okay, here's a bonus point for somebody that knows the Sanskrit. Anyone know the Sanskrit? Actually, there's two verses. There's a verse in Padma Purana that's very similar. They both end the same way, but they begin slightly different. Rupa Goswami's verse. It's a nice one to remember. Yena tena prakarena. That's easy to remember. Yena tena prakarena. You can remember that one, right? By this way or that way, by some means. However you do it. Yena tena prakarena. Mana, mind. Krishne, unto Krishna. Nishaviyat. One should fix the mind always upon Krishna. Mana, Krishne, Nishavayat. The way it begins in Padma Purana is Smartavya Kirtitam Vishnur, then the reverse. Vishmartavyo na jatuchit. One should always remember Krishna, one should never forget Krishna. This is the purpose to be served by all of the vidhis and the restrictions when you're engaged in the process of devotional service. And that's the purpose of the deity worship. The purpose of the deity worship is very much helpful to the process of Shravanam and Kirtanam. But which comes first? Shravanam, Kirtanam come first. And as through that gradual process of Shravanam, Kirtanam, and there's purification of the heart. We know this also from the scripture, particularly Srimad Bhagavatam describes like this. When one engages in the process of hearing and chanting, vidhunoti suhrit satam, the heart becomes cleansed of all impure things just from hearing and chanting. And then in that purified state, both externally, when worshipping the deity, one should be very clean, and internally, one should try to become very clean and approach the deity for the pleasure of the deity, that is enhancing our remembrance of Krishna, enhancing our chanting of Krishna's holy name. So the family that has been, they actually have been worshipping these deities for some time, but they never had a formal little ceremony like this, so they decided to invite all of you to honor the occasion of their formally welcoming their deities and purposefully trying to fix their mind upon Krishna. Now here's another nice question, quiz question for you all. Don't blurt it out. Raise your hand. There's one verse in Bhagavad Gita that Krishna speaks twice, which means it's an important verse. I'll even build it up some more. It's the last verse in the most confidential knowledge chapter of Bhagavad Gita, one of the times he speaks it. And the most confidential portion of the most confidential knowledge is this verse. What a build-up, huh? What's the verse? Raise your hand, raise your hand, raise your hand. Who knows the verse? Way in the back there, go ahead. What's the rest? What's the rest? Something like that. Mam mai vaishasi satyam te pratijani priyosi me. Right. So it's four things, and it starts with manmana. Manmana. Mana Krishna naveshayat. Manmana. So Krishna says, think of me And Rupa Goswami in Padma Purana says, think of Krishna. Same thing. It's first person singular and third person singular, but it's the same message. Now here's one other very nice teaching that Srila Prabhupada shared. That when Krishna speaks the Bhagavad Gita and Krishna says, surrender unto me, and when the representative of Krishna, the spiritual master or someone representing Krishna, says, surrender unto Krishna, the speaking is the same. Krishna is speaking. Prabhupada explained that some people say, oh, I'll never get a chance to hear from Krishna. Arjuna was so fortunate. He was on the battlefield with Krishna. He was a dear friend of Krishna. He was a contemporary of Krishna. But I won't have that chance. What's the use? And Prabhupada would say, no! It is not like that, because when Krishna is speaking and someone repeats what Krishna is speaking, it's Krishna speaking. Just like this is a microphone and my voice is going into the microphone, and somewhere there's an amplifier and a speaker and the sound is coming out of the speaker. So it's not the speaker is speaking, the voice is speaking. So the devotee who speaks Krishna's words is like the speaker of Krishna's words. It's Krishna's words and Krishna is speaking directly. Once in Mayapur, I've heard Srila Prabhupada speak this several times. Once in Mayapur, it was at a Mayapur festival, I think it was 1975, and he was speaking on verses from Chaitanya Charitamrita. And he spoke on this verse, and he repeated the message three times. I'll do it two more times. When Krishna says, surrender unto me, and the devotee of Krishna says, surrender unto Krishna, their speaking is the same. Krishna is speaking. Then he said it again. When Krishna says, surrender unto me, and the devotee is saying, surrender unto Krishna, it is Krishna speaking. Prabhupada spoke only two or three more words, as far as my memory goes, and then he went into a trance, right in front of about 500 devotees, sitting on the Vyasasan. He was so absorbed in the message, this is my limited understanding of what was happening, he was so absorbed that he lost external consciousness. What happened was his eyes closed slightly, the muscles of his face slackened, his jaw dropped, and his body was tottering like this. You could hear a pin drop. No one knew what to do. What do you do when your spiritual master goes into a samadhi? So after a long 60 seconds or 2 minutes or whatever it was, one devotee very quietly stood up, took the mridanga in his hand, and started very softly singing, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. It went on for a few mantras. And then Prabhupada opened his eyes. He looked around the room. He got up and left the temple room and went up to his quarters. End of class. So the message I would like to convey here is, when Krishna says, surrender unto me, and Nectar of Devotion or Rupa Goswami or Padma Purana says, the purpose of the deity worship that one does, or any of the practices of devotional service, it means it's to assist us in remembering Krishna always. Always. Satatam. Always. Always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. And whatever it is that we do, gradually in the course of a life of devotion, one tries to mold one's life in such a way that one can always remember Krishna. Even calamity is a great opportunity for remembering Krishna. Because what do you do when a calamity comes? There's no shelter but Krishna. But sometimes, you know, we do something else besides take shelter of Krishna. We start whining and complaining or something. But if we can take shelter of Krishna in any circumstance of life, direct our daily activity in such a way it will enhance or awaken that remembrance of Krishna, that's ideal. And so we've gathered together this evening to assist or offer our well wishes to the family that they can become fixed in remembrance of Krishna. So are the deities dressed? Okay. Any thoughts anybody wants to add to this, or questions, or because as soon as the deities are ready, the deities will soon appear, and when they appear, we'll stand to receive them, and we'll perform arti for the pleasure of the deities, and the arti tray is ready, right?